Hey, it's me. It's T. Frank. So, we got in a little deep today. And I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to lay low for a little bit. Got the disguise on. So, hopefully, this will all blow over. But we got super deep into it today. So, I'm just going to make sure that... Oh, they're here. I got to go.
In a world full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
I want to go over something that has been bothering Penn State football fans for years now that they have complained to me time and time again about, and it's the underneath throws in zone coverage that seem like they're too easy. Seems like it's just pitch and catch for the offense. And for Penn State fans, to a point, they're right, but I want to get into the details of why the defense is in that situation and kind of maybe it's not exactly what you think, where it's not always that the corner is responsible for these plays. It's a lot about situation, alignment, and play call. So this is going to have to get into the details of what is the problem the defense is trying to solve, how are they trying to solve it, and what is the offense doing in response. So what we talked about on previous shows, we're bringing it all home here, is that this is a first down play, second quarter against Ohio State. And remember what we talked about in previous episodes where... Primarily, first down is still a rundown in college football. Offensive coordinators aren't changing their stripes that much. They want to make sure that they're not behind the chains. They want to get those yards on first down to set up second and third, keep ahead of the chains, all the coach speak things. So despite the fact that this is a three-receiver set, and it is in the shotgun, it's a spread offense, this is still a run down. So you have to treat it that way as the defensive coordinator and as the defense. And it provides you with this unique problem. How do you stop the run, stay sound against the run that you know statistically, analytically, however you want to do it, is coming while also defending the pass and not being beat? Now you have a couple of different options, but to simplify this, you can either do one of two things. You can play man coverage, and you can put your corners on an island and load the box, or you can try and play zone and try and disguise what you're doing and try to get the defense or the offense to guess wrong. So in this situation, what we're going to look at today specifically is cover three on first down, because it kind of ties all these problems together. This play in particular, what's going to happen is Ohio State checks to this play on this drive. It's the second time they've seen this, and they identify pre-snap. This is a pretty good look at what cover three looks like pre-snap. You've got your corners off about 5 or 6 yards. You see Joey Porter Jr. at the top of the screen. You see Tariq Castro-Fields at the bottom of the screen, and you see Jaquan Brisker almost aligned directly over the center, about 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. That is kind of the landscape of what you're looking for to diagnose pre-snap of what the defense is going to do. Now, again, you can either put the linebacker, sling the linebacker back into his run fit, or you can drop the safety down and you can play cover three in a couple of different ways. On this particular play, what's going to happen is you've got your three deep players that divide the back third. That's why it's called cover three. The underneath defenders, you have Lance Dixon, who's going to have the far flat underneath the corner, and then you'll have three other defenders where Ellis Brooks is going to take the next zone over, the hook zone. The same thing with Lamont Wade, who drops down into that zone, and Brandon Smith, who's playing the far flat. Now, this is, again, where in a perfect symmetrical world, they would divide the entire field into even parts, but because most quarterbacks don't target the far flat, and you've got to protect against that slot receiver, Brandon Smith is going to basically play that flat a little closer to the line of scrimmage. Put your players in your resources, put them in the places you need them. But remember, everything we just talked about is about if it's a pass play. And at the snap, watch what happens. Again, Ohio State audible to this play, and you see the first thing that happens is the offensive line run blocks. This is the great problem of an RPO, is that on every play, the offensive line is run blocking. So if you're a linebacker, you've been taught since Pop Warner, when you see those keys and you see that fullback, tight end, H-back, whatever you want to call him, when you see him coming across on that split zone block, you've read all your keys, you're looking in the backfield, you know this is a run play, especially if you've been getting run on in this game, which Ohio State had been getting whatever they wanted on the ground against Penn State. You're going to be a little twitchy in the run game. But at this moment, you see Justin Fields, he's deciding what to do with the football. He's making the decision if this is going to be a run and he gives it to Master Teague, or if he pulls it and throws the ball. Now, again, remember our underneath zones? Look where Lance Dixon is. He's nowhere near his zone responsibility because he's playing the run. And then as soon as that happens, pull the ball, throw the ball, 6 yards. And it's not like defensive coordinators don't know this. You see Joey Porter Jr., he's lined up kind of in an off-man situation. This is basically isolation basketball on grass where it's him versus that receiver, despite the fact the defense didn't want to play one-on-one, but they were forced in that situation here. And honestly, as soon as the defender, he does a decent job of getting downhill on this, knowing that he's supposed to have deep responsibility. He can't lose to a double move here. He triggers downhill. He gets a decent stop on first down for what the situation is. It's not a good play overall if you're the defense. But if you look at averages and they get about 6 yards here, the average run play gets 4. That's why the passing game is more efficient. So we'll go on to the next play because, again, that's another situation where you can't really be right if you're that corner. You have to be otherworldly talented. That's why teams like LSU and Alabama that get the top defensive players at the cornerback position, they can play man coverage and they can afford to be a little more risky with their secondary. Again, earlier in the drive, this is a pure pass play, no RPO, but this is where having a first-round draft pick as your quarterback certainly helps. Because earlier I said most players don't target the far flat. So you can see Joey Porter Jr. here in this situation. He's playing pure off coverage. You see down here on the bottom of the screen, it's mirrored. Tariq Castro-Fields, he's now in that one-on-one situation knowing he might have to defend the flat against a throw. Joey Porter Jr. is expecting to have a little bit of underneath support from Brandon Smith. But when you put Garrett Wilson in the slot, you have to protect the weaknesses of the defense, and in cover three, up the seams in between those deep zones, you can get big plays there if you're not careful. So he has to guard against that. He has to slow play that route just a little bit to make sure that guy doesn't get a free release up the seam. And then as soon as that happens, your big-armed quarterback just locks and loads, and you get 9 yards on first down, and it looks easy.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
Ultimately, Brandon Smith not having the instincts to know when to break on the underneath route, that's why he's moving to Will linebacker. And Curtis Jacobs, the hope is for Penn State fans and for the Penn State defense that he does. He's more natural in that wider space. But make no mistake, if you're a linebacker, you saw Lance Dixon's responsibilities on that play. He's going to have to cover the slot. Brandon Smith is still going to have to cover the flat. He's going to have coverage responsibilities outside of the tackle box. Because that's what college football is now. You have to defend the entire field. And on the flip side, this is an area where I think that the Penn State offense last year did not have the capabilities of taking advantage of these situations. Not having a master of the offense, not having great chemistry or communication between receivers and the offensive coordinator, it's hard to be on the same page if you see something you want to take advantage of pre-snap and getting everyone there. So with Mike Yurcich coming in, yes, it's a new offense, but you would hope that throughout this offseason and with spring football this year, the install will have everyone closer to the same page so you can make those plays with your fifth-year quarterback and take advantage of the easy yards. There was almost no taking advantage of the easy yards in situations like in cover three on first down. Sean Clifford throwing outside the numbers in general has not been great during his time at Penn State. And part of that is just so magnificently disrupted by the pandemic that it's hard to tell if he can do that or if there is any progression to be had from him as a passer. This year is going to be a big determining factor in that. And this is one of the reasons why I don't know if we can have a good gauge on what Sean Clifford is and isn't, because if you're not comfortable with the system and you don't have the responsibility or the ability to check plays at the line of scrimmage or for the offensive coordinator to communicate that to you from the press box, you're going to get into situations where you can't take advantage of what the defense is doing despite being able to see it. Remember, again, on this previous play, Ryan Day is the play caller for Ohio State. He's on the sideline. He can communicate this stuff much more efficiently than a guy in the box. So all those factors, hopefully for Penn State fans and for Sean Clifford, that will improve in 2021, and the efficiency of the offense through the passing game will also improve.